Well, we're going to continue in our time of worship this morning through opening up God's Word. Vamos a continuar en nuestro tiempo de alabanza con abrir la palabra de Dios. And today, the scripture reading will come from the book of Acts, chapter 13, verses 42-44. La escritura de hoy va a estar en el libro de Hechos, capítulo 13, versículos 42-44. And if you just click on Bible, the verses will come up right behind me. Maybe Marcus, if you want to give him a hand with that as well. But Danny will be reading the scripture for us first in Spanish, and then I will read the scripture for us in English.
Dice, cuando Pablo y Bernabé salieron de la sinagoga ese día, la gente les suplicó que volvieran a hablar sobre las cosas la semana siguiente. Muchos judíos y devotos convertidos al judaísmo siguieron a Pablo y a Bernabé, y ambos hombres los exhortaban a que continuaran confiando en la gracia de Dios. A la semana siguiente, casi toda la ciudad fue a oír predicar la palabra del Señor.
Amen. Thank you, Danny. So let's hear now with open ears from God's Word, from the book that we love. I'll be reading it in English. Acts chapter 13, verses 42-44. As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. When the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who walked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Vamos a orar juntos. Oh God, we thank you that you meet us this morning. Te damos gracias, Señor, porque nos encuentras esta mañana. And Lord, it's out of the depth of eternity that you came into our story. You stepped in, Lord, to meet us here. And God, we pray for just wherever we find ourselves today. Some of us may be very encouraged and excited. Others may be feeling confused or just unsure about this season of life that we're in. And God, even this week for our country and in our nation, Lord, there were some very disturbing and scary things happening, Lord. And Lord, may we know that you see those things and you don't run away from them, but you engage us, you run toward us, Lord. You become our Savior, you are our Savior. And Lord, we just pray that you would continue to help us to hold on to you. Help us to hold on to that eternal light of Jesus Christ, Lord. Lord, that light that continues to shine even in the darkest places of our lives and of our world. Señor, ayúdanos ver tu luz entre las tinieblas. Lord, would you cause your light to shine even brighter through your precious word this morning? Would you speak to us clearly and directly? Make us new, O God. Make us more like you. It's in the beautiful name of Christ that we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, friends, it's such a joy to be here in worship and just to be gathered together. Most of you know that here at Imago Church, God has formed this community to be a gospel-centered, multicultural community where hope is built through restored relationships with God and with one another. And that means that each and every one of us, as was mentioned earlier, we have a common identity and purpose. Our identity is in the image of God, and our purpose is in the image of Christ. And that's why we come together every single week. You even see in some of these boards here on the side, that's exactly what we do. We gather together in order to build each other up, in order to be sent out for God's purposes. Dios nos envía para su misión. And part of what it means to carry on the mission of Jesus is actually to live as local missionaries. That's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be starting a new sermon series on the book of Acts from chapters 13 to 22. And we've been in the book of Acts since last September. Some of you remember this. Here at this church, we actually go through entire books of the Bible and we ask God, what are you teaching us here? We want understanding of the Word of God. And so we started this series from Acts 1 to 12, and it was a series called Carrying On the Mission of Jesus. But now, going on from Acts 13 to 22, this is going to take us all the way into Easter. We're looking at this new series, this new teaching from the Bible that we're calling Local Missionaries. And these are directly connected because part of what it means to carry out the mission of Jesus is to live lives as local missionaries, to be people who engage everyday mission. And every one of us can do this. Whether we're taking our first steps in faith or our next steps in faith, God will show us how. Part of what this means of being a local missionary is simply being someone who is committed to blessing those around us by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the guidance of God, committed to blessing those around us and being aware that life with God begins here and now. We don't get caught up just in the past or scared of the future, but we know that God meets us here and now. And that by the grace of God, we're able to seek and serve God wherever we find ourselves. We're able to go deep and wide in all places that God would send us to. We're able to connect with God and be a blessing to others in our home. We can do it in our workplace. We can be a blessing to others in our family life. We can do it in the ordinary. God meets us in the ordinary and does extraordinary things with us. God meets us there, wherever we are. Donde sea que estamos, Dios nos encuentra allí. So part of being local missionaries or having this mindset, this awareness of God being with us here and now means that we can experience God here and now. We can seek and serve God right where we are. We understand together as a community, and we're going to be learning together through this scripture, that mission does not only mean going across the world, but it also means going across the street. Yes, of course, we support and we bless and we pray for our missionaries across the world, but God, that doesn't mean that we're out of the game or we're on the sidelines. Mission is going across the world, and it is also going across the street to bless those around us. So, mission is going across the street or going across the road. So, in this sermon series, we can even come up with some jokes together, right? The old joke, why did the Christian cross the road? To get to the other soul. No, it didn't work like I thought it would. But we'll say this. Whoever comes up with a better punchline gets a prize at the end of this sermon series. Okay, why did the Christian cross the road? But let's continue in the scriptures. Acts 13, verses 42 to 43. It says this. As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. When the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. So what do we see here in this passage? God meets us where we're at and takes us where we need to be. In the book of Acts, there's been this ongoing tension between two groups of people that we see in the scriptures, between Jews and Gentiles. Here we see in the book of Acts that there is now a fulfillment of one of the promises of God. We saw last week when we were looking at the book of Genesis that God started a promise to bless all people in the earth started with one person. It started with Abraham. And then Then from Abraham was a blessing to a family. And then from that family came a nation. That nation was the Jewish nation. And the promise of God is that through that nation, all families, all generations would be blessed. And that's what we see happening here in the book of Acts, that now that promise is being fulfilled, that all nations are being blessed. So now there is no distinction between what the scripture calls here Jew and Gentile. And remember, the Jewish community, the Jewish nation was the nation, the culture, the group that God worked with in the Old Testament before Jesus came. But now here in the book of Acts, we see that the blessing of God, the promise of God, has been expanded to all people in all times, in all places. So there's been this tension between Jew and Gentile. Now, a Gentile is someone that is non-culturally Jewish. So that means we have here at our church some people that do have a background that do have a Jewish ethnicity and Jewish culture, and we love that. We celebrate that. But that means for everyone else, including me, we're all under this biblical category of Gentiles. So there was this tension between Jews and Gentiles. But what we see here in the book of Acts is the fulfillment of God's promise, that now there is no distinction between Jew and Gentile. That means that God views us all as people. He views us all equally. That before the eyes of God, there is no partiality. Before the eyes of God, there is no preferential treatment from one group of people or another. God makes us all come to an even level. God has invited us all into a transformative relationship with Him. Part of what it means to live out our identity in the image of God and our purpose in the image of Christ is to know that we are now all on common ground. That before God, I have the assurance of knowing that I am not above anyone else. But then, because my identity and my purpose is in Christ, that means that I know I'm not above anyone else, but that also means I'm not below anyone else. Before the eyes of God, we are all on common ground. The cross has placed us all on common ground. This is because the gospel reminds us that we can't get to God, but God comes to us in Jesus. Dios tuvo que venir a nosotros por medio de Jesucristo. And this gospel that we gather around is God's surprising good news that places us all on even ground. I want you to look to your neighbor next to you, and I want you to say, we are on common ground. Hey, believe it. Even when we go home, okay? It doesn't end here. We are on common ground. Estamos en el mismo nivel. Whether you're taking your first step in faith or your next step in mission, we are all on common ground. Indeed, the gospel reminds us that our best selves aren't enough to get us to God, and our worst selves aren't enough to keep us from the grace of God. Because the God that we worship, the God that we gather around, is a God who is not concerned with big things that are loud. But the God that we worship invites us into eternal things. Eternal things that often begin with kind whispers and gentle nudges and with hope through relationships. This is the grace of God, which puts us all on even ground. So us being in common ground means that neither our rebellion or our rule-keeping is enough to change that. The grace of God, what God has done for us, that is enough. And just as we are today, Jesus meets us where we're at. And Jesus takes us where we need to be. He takes us somewhere new. He takes us somewhere unexpected. He invites us on a journey to follow Him into a new reality, into a gospel reality. Gospel simply means good news. That means that we're invited into good news, into a bright future. Because Christ is alive, we are alive as well. Part of living in this new reality is recognizing what we've established, that before God, there is no longer this distinction that in the book of Acts we see between Jew or Gentile. There's no distinction between insider or outsider. But when we trust Christ, we are one in Christ. We have a new identity and a new address. What does this mean? We have a couple of weeks ago, we had Greg Peterson preach here at Imago Church. I was so grateful to have him here. I have on my list to do to listen to his sermon this week, but I believe he preached on the book of David in the Old Testament, and I'm looking forward to listening to that. But some of you know that Greg is currently a seminary student. That means that he's learning and getting his graduate studies in how to be a pastor and a preacher. And that's really exciting. And he's actually currently down at Southern California at Fuller Theological Seminary. And he and I have a connection there because I didn't do seminary in Southern California. I did seminary over in the East Coast. But his current president down at Fuller Theological Seminary is actually my former pastor. He's someone that I learned a lot from. His name is Mark Laberton, and he actually wrote a book once really talking about this whole idea of having a new identity and a new address in Christ and how we're all in common ground before God. He actually wrote a book called The Dangerous Act of Worship. If you ever want to borrow it, it's actually in my library. Happy to let you borrow it. But he talks about the importance of waking up to our identity and waking up to our address, waking up to where we live. We live in Christ. So even though we have different dwellings, we have different places where we dwell, we have one common address. We live in Christ. You know, that didn't make that much sense to me until I had a really funny experience with my address for several years, actually, where there were different dwellings, but one address. When I lived in New Jersey, my address was actually 201 Losher Place, apartment 201. So my apartment was the same number as the address. So you could imagine the mess that occurred every single week with getting everyone else's mail. And this happened every single week where the mail carrier would come and to address 201 and then give me all kinds of people's mail. I would get my neighbors, I would get from apartment 202, from apartment 205, but because we were all the same address, we were 201, and I was the lucky or unlucky person that was also apartment 201. So I was at 201, 201, and that meant that my routine every single Friday was I would gather all my mail and I would expect other people's mail, and so I'd go around delivering it. So I made lots of friends that way. And I also got a lot of unexpected guests. A lot of people were going to visit their brother or sister, and they'd come to my home. They'd say, is this 201? Yes, it's 201. And then I had to sit them down and explain to them that we have the same address but a different dwelling. And it's the same way in Christ. We have different dwellings, but we have one address. God changes our address. We even see this throughout the scriptures. We see when Paul writes his letters to the Ephesians, he writes to those in Christ that are dwelling in Ephesus. Some of us here dwell in Tulare. Others dwell in Visalia. Others dwell in other parts of the valley. But we are united in Christ, because though we have different dwellings, we have one address in Christ. That's why we're united to our brothers and sisters throughout history and throughout the world. Some of you know that I was traveling for most of January. I was primarily in East Africa, and I'd been there several times. I was there with my family. But one of the things that I come back with so inspired by is just what God is up to in the rest of the world. The gospel continues to spread like wildfire. We may not think so being here, but really the gospel, the word of God, continues to grow. There are as many Christians in the world today as there ever has been in history. And we get to partner with our brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the world. But one thing I was really amazed by is how I was able to experience this love and fellowship with brothers and sisters in Uganda, in East Africa, because even though our dwelling is different, our address is the same. Our address is in Christ. We abide and we are united in Christ. So part of being local missionaries, part of being aware of what God is up to here and now, is being aware of our new address. Our new address in Christ, which allows us to think globally and to act locally. Our dwelling may seem the same, but we will discover that our address in Christ helps us to enter into a greater joy and a greater awareness than we ever imagined. So we've been invited into an eternal story. We'll continue here in verse 44, which says, "On the next day, on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord." El próximo día, en el sábado, casi toda la ciudad se reunió para escuchar la palabra de Dios. So, once again here, we see this tension of insiders and outsiders. Yet, because of Christ, we are now all on common ground. This is a common theme in the book of Acts, that the gospel-centered community is a multicultural community, that the two have become one and are now on common ground. Here what we're seeing is actually two apostles by the name of Paul and Barnabas. They're preaching in this place called, in these places called Antioch and Pisidia. Now, they were two Jewish apostles. They were two culturally Jewish people, and they were ministering and proclaiming the gospel in a place that was primarily not Jewish. It was primarily people that weren't like them, that didn't think like them, that didn't look like them. In fact, the majority who showed up to hear them proclaim the word of God were Gentiles. They were non-Jews. Now, what Paul and Barnabas show us here is that it is very important to preach the gospel and to live out the truth of God where we live. We need to preach the gospel in our city and our community as it is, not as we would like it to be. We even have this video online. You can go to our website. We're actually doing some touch-ups to our website, so it may be available in about a week. But it's this video called "A Church That Reflects the City." And there we talk about this value that we have as a community to really bless, love, and serve this community as it is, not as we would force it to be or as we would like it to be. Paul and Barnabas preached the gospel in their city as it was. They simply proclaimed the good news of Christ to their community, to the place that God had called them to. Paul and Barnabas were aware of the fact that they were blessed to be a blessing to others. And similarly, that's our calling. We know that we're blessed, and we're not just blessed for me and mine, but we're blessed to be a blessing to others. We're blessed to be a blessing to our communities, to bless our communities as they are, not as we would like them to be. Throughout history, throughout the Bible, we see that the people of God are not simply chosen to be this special little club. No. The people of God are not chosen instead of others, but we as the people of God are chosen for the sake of others. Blessed to be a blessing. So when we gather together around the gospel, around the good news of God, we gather as an unlikely community. Here, the folks that are gathered here today, we probably wouldn't just be hanging out otherwise, but we're united in Christ. We're united by this good news. And when we're gathered as an unlikely community around the worship of Jesus, we're actually reflecting the kingdom of God. We're reflecting eternity. That's why we say here at Imago Church that multicultural worship serves as a faithful witness to the image of God. Now, we live in a culture and a society trying to convince us of the lie that we are in control.
Vivimos en una sociedad que nos quiere convencer de la mentira que estamos en control.
We want to be convinced of the lie that we can control and manufacture our communities. We want to be convinced of the lie that we can control other human beings or other people.
Well, the challenge, and I'll be honest with you, this is a challenge with many churches and even many non-church communities. We buy into it.
And we think that we can manufacture or control our communities to fit us, or that we can control our communities to live in our own little mini worlds, or to live in our own little bubbles, when we can just spend our time with people who already look, think, and act the same as us. That's not what Paul and Barnabas did. They went and ministered to their community as it was, not as they wanted it to be. And God continues to place us in messy, non-manufactured, non-forced communities so that we can continue to grow spiritually, so that we can continue to be more like Him. And there are actually two contexts that God places us in for so that we can grow spiritually, so that we can become more like Him. Those two contexts are, first, it's family. And the second is the church, which is God's family. Let's start with our families in general. Let me ask you this question. Who here got to pick or choose who was in their family? No one, right? And I'll ask you the second question, and you don't need to raise your hand for this one, but who here would be best friends with their family members if they weren't in your family? No, probably none of us, but that's okay. God places us there. God places us in non-manufactured communities so that we can grow spiritually, so that we can be more like Him. Because the way that we navigate through family is the way that God navigates His relationship with us. God accepts us as we are, not as He would like us to be. He meets us just as we are, yet He loves us too much just to leave us there. He takes us where we need to be. So that's why God keeps placing us in these communities so that we can grow in deeper love and deeper connection together. So that's how it is in our own families, and it's also that way in the church family, which is God's family. We cannot control or force or manufacture church community. We proclaim the gospel and we love and serve Visalia and the Valley as it is. Not as we would force it to be or like it to be, to conform to our thoughts and image. That's why here at Imago Church, there are people who wouldn't ordinarily be together, yet we're gathered around the worship of Jesus. So part of our goals and what we've see God continue to form in this community is that here in Visalia, here in the Valley, this is a multicultural community. I mean, just go to Starbucks or Save Mart or anywhere and you'll see that. That's why here we have people of different cultures, some people of different languages, and we love that. Visalia in the Valley is a place where you will find younger and older people. And that's why here we have multiple generations. We have people that are younger, people that are older, people that are early in life, people that are later in life, because that's how we minister and love this place as it is. Here in Visalia, this is a place, and in the Valley, this is a place where there are people with resources, and there are other people that are in deep need. And that's why here in this community, we're going to find all of those. We're going to find all people.
Not because we want to be cool or hip or different, but because we want to be faithful to our call to proclaim and live out the gospel in this community as it is. Not as we would want it to be. Not as we would force it to be. And that's exactly what Paul and Barnabas were doing. That's why we say here at Imago Church that we are a gospel-centered, multicultural community. All we mean by that is that we want to be a church that points to the living hope of Jesus in this community, in Visalia, in the valley, as it is. And that we want to be invited and invite others into something deeper, into something more real, which the Bible calls unity in Christ. Now, part of experiencing unity in Christ is to be in Christ-centered community. And when we experience Christ-centered community, we actually get a taste of God's reality. Some of you know about this, but if you don't, that's okay. We're all learning together. But the God that we worship has revealed himself to us in the scriptures as a Trinity, Trinitarian, one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That means that the God that we worship is community. And since we're created in the image of God, that means that we are created for community. We are created not to settle for uniformity, but we are created for more. We are created for unity in Christ. At Imago Church, we are a non-manufactured, messy community. This is a space where we know that there's brokenness, that there's fault, and that we all need the grace of God. This is a place where we want to be able to know people and truly be known by other people. We want to experience the hope of Christ through authentic relationships with one another. But you know, if that's our goal, if that's what we're doing, there's going to be two guarantees. One, there will be greater challenges. Community is already hard enough, right? When you're with people who already look, think, and act like you and agree with you on everything. But that only works until it doesn't, and then there's a split and all this stuff, right? But what God is calling us to is something deeper. Unity in Christ. So yes, there will be more challenges on the one hand, but then the other promise is also true. Just as much as there will be greater challenges, there will be greater joy. Greater joy of doing life together. And I'm so grateful that I get to be part of a church where people love doing life together, where we know that our fellowship and celebration, that is a part of worship. That's why we invite and we encourage everyone to take 5 minutes after service just to hang out, grab a cup of coffee, grab a donut, just be together. I loved how last week, this wasn't even my idea. But we had our time of fellowship, and that wasn't enough. People wanted to continue to just hang out and be together, so a big group went over to Boston Pizza. And we just continued in laughter, in sharing stories, in doing life together, in tasting unity in Christ. Here at Imago Church, that's what we get to do together. Life together, as we are. The ongoing theme in the book of Acts is this whole idea that the gospel-centered community is a multicultural community. Vemos en el libro de Hechos que la comunidad centrada en el Evangelio es una comunidad multicultural. And we see that people are opening their eyes and their ears to God when they are open to people that are different than them. That's why in the church and in the kingdom of God, multicultural community is not just a nice addition, but multicultural worship serves as a faithful witness to the image of God for the church and for the world. Now, if that's the case, if we see that that is the call, that is the theme that we see in the book of Acts and throughout the New Testament, then what's missing? Why is that not usually the case with many churches, at least churches that I've seen? Most churches in our part of the world are actually what would be called homogeneous churches or single culture worshiping communities. Now, these are this has actually been the norm in our country for several generations, where there has been single culture or homogeneous fellowship. And I'll just say this much about it. First of all, you know, single culture worshiping communities can serve a temporary purpose. They can even be good for first generation migrants who speak a particular language or whatever it may be. But let's be clear about this. Homogeneous or single culture worship serves a temporary purpose and can be a good thing, but single culture worship is not an accurate portrayal of eternal fellowship. That is not on, or that's not how it will be in the presence of God. And when we pray, we say on earth as it is in heaven. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that cultures are bad. In fact, I'm saying that they're very good. But when a good thing becomes an ultimate thing, that's when we get into trouble. That's when we begin to worship a new god, a lesser god, an idol by the name of tribalism. Now, the gospel and the book of Acts actually gives us an invitation to something greater. To be local missionaries, to be people that are blessed to be a blessing, to know that we can encounter God here and now. This gives us a new way that says, I am free to embrace my own God-given culture, and at the same time, I am free to celebrate the cultural uniqueness of my sister or brother in Christ. That's the freedom we get. I can embrace my God-given culture and celebrate the God-given cultural uniqueness of my sister or brother in Christ. That's why here at Imago Church, you'll see during our Christmas and during our Easter celebrations and other fellowship opportunities, that's why together as a community, we can rejoice and we can enjoy Dutch cookies. And we can enjoy tamales. All in one plate. We can enjoy gumbo. We can enjoy some fine barbecue. All together. We can embrace our God-given culture and celebrate the cultural uniqueness of our sisters or brothers in Christ. You know, and part of what it means to be a local missionary, you have it in your bulletin if you got one, the little bookmark that says bless. Genevieve made them for us this week, and we're going to be holding on to those this week, and we're going to practice two of them this week. Part of what it means to be a local missionary is also becoming curious of other people, of other experiences that aren't just ours.
Parte de ser un misionero local es tener la curiosidad y escuchar a las otras personas con otras experiencias.
You know, we're all created in the image of God, so we can become curious. So what could I learn from this other person? And this week, we're going to be practicing the top two in your little bless. Who has it? Does everyone have it? Everyone has their bookmark. And we're going to be practicing two of them. The first one is B. That begins with prayer. We're going to begin praying this week. Who are we called to bless? And then secondly, we're going to practice L, which is listen. We're going to learn to listen. You know, the book of James in the New Testament tells us to be slow to speak, slow to anger, and quick to listen. Two ears, one mouth, right? We're going to learn to listen to people's pains, to people's joys, to people's experiences. So that's two of the things we're going to be doing this week. And together, we're going to be next week coming up with this list of my 10 people. 10 people that we're praying for, 10 people we're in relationship with, 10 people that we're inviting into relationship with Jesus and to be a part of God's family here at Imago Church. And that's exactly why we're inviting people. That's because we remember that our journey started somewhere. Some of you were invited by your parents. Please never take that for granted. If you grew up in a church household or in a Christian household, it was your parents that invited you. Most parents don't do that. And yeah, maybe our parents weren't perfect, but they tried their best. For some of us, it was other family members that invited us. For some of us, it was our friends. For others, we were invited by kind strangers. And I even know stories here at Imago of people who were even invited by God Himself, by the Holy Spirit. I've had experiences with people who just show up and say, I just knew I needed to be here. God led me here. Or people that are ready to hear the gospel. So even when we don't do the work, the Holy Spirit does. And we're invited to be a part of that as well. Everyone starts their journey somewhere. As local missionaries, we get to meet people right where they're at. And we get to point them to where the life is at. We point them to Jesus. Nos apuntamos a Jesucristo. We point them to Jesus, the one who is the source and the wellspring of life. Amen. We'll continue next week in Acts chapter 14. Let's pray together. Vamos a orar juntos. Lord, great is your faithfulness. Señor, grande es tu fidelidad. It's unlike anything that we have seen, experienced, or imagined. Lord God, you've poured out on us your word, your truth. And we pray that this word wouldn't just stop here, but it would continue to shape us and mold us and make us more like you. Lord God, we pray that you would send us out. Envíanos, Dios Santo. Send us out as we go out to love and serve our neighbors, as we go out to build your church, to be who you've called us to be, blessed to be a blessing. Make us new. Make us more like you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.